The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm sitting here trying to scramble around, getting a number of papers set up. We're trying something a little bit differently with our program here tonight, but welcome to the program this evening. We'll be on until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Toll free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Pray that you would bless our time and just use a program for your glory. Help us to be effective in pointing people to Christ and encouraging believers in their walk with you. Lord, just pray use a program for your glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. One of the things we're trying to do, and of course doing this, trying to scramble getting everything around, you may remember a few months ago, that's probably more than a few months now, we were experimenting with Periscope as a live broadcast of the program while we're doing it, and we gave that a try, and I was having problems because I was trying to use my cell phone in order to do it. And since that time, we've acquired a Chromebook that we found that we can do Facebook Live with. And so if you go on Facebook, we are attempting to do a Facebook Live program tonight along with the On the Air. And so if you go to Facebook, you can find us on Facebook, livewithpastoral.com. And while you're there, you should be able, hopefully, to see our live feed there on Facebook. And I'm still trying to get my computer here or my laptop onto Facebook. But the Chromebook is going, and it looks like we have that working. So hopefully, we will be able to use that. And like I said, we're giving it a try. One of the problems that we found with Periscope was we were getting a live broadcast, but we were having some difficulties accessing them afterwards, and I found out later on, much to my dismay, that my cell phone was being loaded with the broadcast. They were being all saved, and my cell phone was running out of memory, plus my cell phone was overheating, shutting down, all kinds of things. Now, thankfully, with the Facebook Live, we're able to do it on the Chromebook that's sitting next to me here, I believe it'll save it on there. We experimented with our church service earlier this evening. Of course, our church, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we experimented with that, and we put that on our evening service on there tonight, and it seemed to go well. No real feedback as yet on it, but it did seem to go well, and it broadcasts. I think there are a couple of people who are watching, and it appears to have saved it. That was on our church's Facebook page, not on Live with Pastor Al Facebook page. But oh, there it is. I've got it on there, and I can see it on the Facebook stream. So let me encourage you, if you like Facebook and Facebook Live, you can find us there. Just go to facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And if you have trouble with that, you can also look up our regular website, which is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can follow the link to our Facebook page there. So All right. Well, we're going to give this a try, and we'll see what happens here tonight. And if I get a little distracted here on occasion, it's trying something new. I remember when we did the Periscope. I was always trying to challenge or trying to juggle everything and balance the cell phone, and it would fall over, and try not to unplug it because it wouldn't last the entire thing. Plus, I got this nice little earbud here that we get some callers. I have to plug into my. I have to set it actually inside of the headset so that it'll pick up the audio from the callers. But speaking of callers. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and in addition to that, we want to remember or remind you that at our page there, livewithpastoral.com, our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, there's links to past broadcasts, and I've been rather busy this past week, and I've not gotten the webpage, Live with Pastor Al, updated yet. Our program last week with Proclaiming Justice to the Nations founder Lori Cardoza Moore and the state director for Ohio, Michael Goldstein, that is live. You can actually find it from our Facebook page right now, but it is live, and I need to get that linked into our homepage. But we had a really good program last week, covered a lot of good material, and hope it was a blessing to you. So if you check us out online, those things are there. I have past programs linked there at livewithpastoral.com. Some of you are in the area where you do not hear our Friday afternoon broadcast. We broadcast here in northeastern Ohio every Friday from 1:30 until 2. It's a live program, and that is on our home station here, AM 1220, The Word, out of Independence, just on the outskirts of Cleveland, Ohio. And so our Florida listeners and others aren't able to get that on Friday, but you can listen online at livewithpastoral.com. And of course, on Sunday nights, we're glad to have, in addition to 1220, The Word here in Northeast Ohio, but we're certainly glad also to be on in Warren, Ohio on 1440 WHKZ. And that's always good to be on there. And then in Florida, on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. We're thankful for our listeners in Florida. And I do want to thank you in Florida in particular for your prayers and help to keep us on the air there in Florida. We really appreciate that. And, well, let's get into a couple of things here today. Boy, it's like a busy work week or a busy week here, news week this past week, trying to decide, you know, what we might want to talk about here, trying to whittle it down. There's just so many things. There was a tremendous decision out of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals this past week, which was a great victory for your religious freedom in this country. It revolved around a case where a magistrate in North Carolina was refusing to do same-sex marriages because of their personal religious convictions. Now, this was not a case where their refusal would prevent same-sex marriages from taking place, but this was a case where this particular magistrate for personal religious convictions did not want to have to do these same-sex marriages. Well, of course, they were told that they must do them, and they went back and forth through the courts. It made it to the fourth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and they ruled that magistrates in North Carolina, and indeed throughout the region that they cover, that magistrates are not required to perform same-sex marriages if they have a religious conviction against it. And that's a tremendous victory right there. I'm thinking here in Ohio, our state Supreme Court Justice, the Ohio State Supreme Court Justice Marilyn O'Connor, I think it was about a year and a half or so ago, she had released a statement saying that magistrates in the state of Ohio are required to perform same-sex marriages regardless of their religious belief. And, I'm thankful for the ruling of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. Along with that, we had the ruling from the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, that came out last week on the Missouri case with the Trinity Lutheran Church in Missouri. Another tremendous religious freedom victory there, where the church in Missouri had applied to a state program that provided chipped tires as a recycling program that the state of Missouri had, where they would chip up tires and provide them to nonprofit organizations to put on playgrounds in order to provide a safer playing surface for children. And as we were talking about at church, I said, when I grew up, my playground, when I grew up in grade school, we had concrete, we had broken concrete, asphalt, gravel, sand, dirt. We had tree roots, we had rocks, we even had briars, we had thorn bushes around the edge of the playground. That's living on a playground like that. But this program recycles tires, they chip them up, they put them out on these playgrounds, provide a safer surface for kids. And the Trinity Lutheran Church, they had applied for this program, and they were refused because basically, and I'll just kind of try and make this, simplify it. They were told it would be an unconstitutional endorsement of religion on the part of the state of Missouri. And so back and forth through the courts that they went, and finally it came to the Supreme Court because the church was losing in the lower courts. Supreme Court heard it, 7-2 decision, 7 found for Trinity Lutheran, 2 found against the church. I believe it was Ginsburg and I believe Sotomayor found against the church. But basically the argument was that there's no endorsement of religion here. It's just simply providing these materials to cover the playground. And if you take the state's argument, those who were opposed to the church getting taking advantage of this program, you would have to say, well, if there was a break-in at the church or somebody arrived at the church and was causing trouble and they caused the police would stop at the edge of the church property and say, I'm sorry, as the police, we're an arm of the state. We can't come onto the property. That would be an unfair endorsement of religion. Oh, that's nonsense. That makes no sense at all. It would be as if the church caught on fire and the fire trucks came and they raced to the scene and they stopped just short of the property and they said, wait a minute. We're an arm of the government. We can't go and fight that fire. If we put that fire out, that would be a unconstitutional endorsement of religion by the state. Now, anybody with common sense knows that those arguments are ridiculous, that they would say that. But that's, in effect, the type of argument that they were making. And so they found in favor of the church, the church's First Amendment rights were violated, as well as, I believe it was the 14th Amendment. And the church was being, actually, the church was being kept from this program, kept from receiving these chip tires, precisely because they were a religious entity. So that was discrimination because of religion, which in effect would be, if you think about it, a state endorsement of religion other than Christianity. There's other things coming up in the fall session. They're going to hear the case of the baker in Colorado, the Christian baker, who did not want to do a cake for a same-sex marriage. But we've got David on the call here, or on the line here. And David, welcome to the program here this evening.
Hey, how you doing?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us.
I have a question about Acts chapter 2, verse 34, but it actually starts way back in 28 or 29. But a friend of mine, I talked to him about him before. His name is George.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to tell me that when a believer dies, he doesn't immediately go into heaven. I'll read verse. He tells me in 29, it says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us today." And then he reads all the way down to 34. Then he tries to tell me, verse 34 says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, you know, then it says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstools.'" And he's saying that verse 34 proves that, you know, David didn't go into heaven after he died, that a believer doesn't go immediately into heaven after they die, that you have to wait for the resurrection. And I wanted you to explain, you know, maybe that verse to me.
Okay, yeah, let's take a look at this. Remember, Peter is preaching here, and he's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and this is shortly after Jesus ascended up into heaven. And Peter comes, of course, you know, from a Jewish background, and he understood the scriptures and all. And where he's quoting from here, talking about David, he's actually quoting from, let me see here, I believe it's Psalm 16. So let me turn back to Psalm 16 for just a moment here, and we'll read it because it's a companion passage, and it's important to understand what's going on here. All right, here we are, Psalm 16, and this is a psalm written by David. In fact, there's a little title to it that identifies it as the Michum, which would be a type of poem or song, a Michum of David. And as he's talking here in this psalm, we're going to come down here to the last part of the psalm. He says in verse 9, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." And this is the part that Peter references here in Acts chapter 2. Paul also actually referenced it in Acts chapter 13. But in Acts chapter 2, when the people went out after being anointed by the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in the languages of the various people that were gathered there in Jerusalem for the holy days, he begins in this sermon that he's preaching, and we have obviously a synopsis of the sermon that he's preaching. But let's go back up to verse 22. He says, "Ye men of Israel," this is back in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words: Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." And now he's going to talk about his death and his resurrection when he says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." And now notice what he says in verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." He's talking about David in Psalm 16, how that he recognized that though he died, and though his body was put into the grave and his soul went into the abode of the dead, he realized that he would not stay there forever. In fact, if you're watching closely in both Psalm 16 and in Acts chapter 3, David makes reference about not staying, his soul not staying in hell. In Psalm 16, the word is Sheol, and in Acts chapter 2, it's Hades. And we're not talking about eternal torment here. We're talking about the abode of the dead, which prior to the cross was divided into Abraham's bosom and the place of torment. And because the cross had not yet taken place, when somebody died in the Old Testament period, their soul descended into Sheol or into hell, into the abode of the dead. But because they had their faith in the Savior to come, they were looking forward to the Messiah, they did not go into torment. They went into Abraham's bosom. You can see that in Luke chapter 14 or whatever, the rich man and Lazarus. It's right around chapter 14 or so, or I'll think of that here in a minute. But
I think 16.
16. That's probably 16 is where it's at.
Well, that's just a parable.
No parable, because Lazarus is clearly mentioned. Abraham's clearly mentioned, and I know I'm kind of hurrying through this because of time constraints. But what happened was they were awaiting the arrival of Christ. Remember when Jesus died on the cross, when he was hanging there, the two thieves that were crucified on either side of him, both of them mocked him and insulted him at first, but then the one realized who he was. And he turned to him and said something along the lines of, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus looked at that thief and he said, verily thou shalt be with me in paradise. I think the wording is basically, today you will be with me in paradise. That's what he was saying. And they died. Now, Jesus died, and the Bible says he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And when he ascended, he led captivity captive. You know, there's a curious report in the Gospels that the bodies of the dead saints were actually seen after probably about the time of the resurrection. I know we're covering a lot of stuff quickly here, but what I'm getting at is David counted in a release from the temporary abode of the dead. When Jesus died on the cross, I believe he descended into hell where David was, because Peter preaches on that here in Acts chapter 2, where he says there in verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried," which has happened. He was dead and he was buried, and his sepulcher was with them. They knew where his sepulcher was. And then he says in verse 30, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he seeing this before." Now notice, this is a Holy Spirit commentary speaking through Peter about what David was writing about in Psalm 16. He said, "He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses." So he's talking about the resurrection of Christ. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." And in referring to David when he was saying this, for David in verse 34 is not ascended unto the heavens, but he saith himself, "The Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." And what he was talking about is what David was talking about when David, before Jesus was born, before Jesus was crucified, before Jesus rose from the dead, he prophesied that Jesus would die, that he would go into hell like David did, and he would not stay there, but that he would leave there and he would be exalted up to heaven. And David was confident that he wouldn't be left in hell himself. And that's what he said. And so I believe that what happened was that when Jesus died on the cross, he descended into hell. He went into the place of paradise. He proclaimed himself as the Messiah that they were waiting for. David would have seen him at that time. He would have realized the prophecy being fulfilled there. And then the ones in torment that could see them. That's what we learn from Luke 16. Remember, they saw across the gulf that was fixed between them, that they couldn't pass from one to another. They could talk across it, but they couldn't pass across it. And they saw the Messiah that they had rejected. And then Jesus led captivity captive, as the Bible says. he ascended up into heaven with them, and I believe that's when he took David from the abode of the dead, and he brought him to be with to be in heaven. And that's why now Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe, that for the believer today, absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. So when we die today as a believer, there's no need for that temporary abode of the dead because the final payment has been paid. We instead go directly to be with God in heaven. Now, our body is still in the grave, and when the Lord comes back for us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about him coming in the clouds, bringing the dead in Christ with him. And then it talks about the dead in Christ raising first. Well, that's because he brings back the dead in Christ with him that are in heaven, but their dead bodies are raised. And as he says in 1 Corinthians 15, this mortal puts on immortality, this corruption, or corruptible puts on incorruption, and they receive a resurrected body at that time. And that happens immediately before we who are alive. We're changed also in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, and we're caught up to be together with them and the Lord in the clouds. And then we're taken up into heaven.
My buddy George was trying to say, well, David didn't get into heaven yet because of verse 34 in Acts, but then he's telling me some other scriptures. Well, when you die, your thoughts perish, so that means you go to sleep and you don't wake up until the resurrection.
Right. That's a false teaching of soul sleep. David, when he wrote in Psalm 16, and until Jesus died on the cross and descended into the lower parts of the earth, as the Bible says, and then ascended up into heaven. David was not in heaven until that time. Jesus then took him into heaven. And that false teaching of soul sleep, I know we're about out of time here, but Paul talked about being caught between two conflicting desires, one which was to for his life to end so he could go to be with the Lord in heaven, and the other was for his life to lengthen so he could stay here and be a blessing and lead people to Christ here on earth. If he knew that soul sleep existed, there would have been no contradiction. He would have wanted to stay as long as possible. Hey, we're out of time this half hour. Stay tuned for another half hour.
All right.
Listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? you can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join the conversation here this evening. And you can call us toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the program with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Just a reminder that you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And tonight, point out, we are attempting and seem to be getting a little bit of success here. Somebody said on there that this is supposed to be the microphone here, but I don't think I put that in my ear the last time because I don't have enough room to get there. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but maybe that's what has to go in. I'll experiment with that while we're talking. Maybe I can get the thing over here a little further. There we go. Let's try this. All right. But as I was saying, you can find us on Facebook. We'll give that a try and see what that works out. I'm trying to do several things at one time. I can't really see what I'm doing while I'm doing it. But I was going to say that you can find us online, livewithpastoral.com. Also wanted to mention we're sponsored by our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And if you're in northeastern Ohio, we'd love to have you visit sometime. And we'd certainly enjoy meeting you. Also, you can find out more about that going to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. You can find a link to our home church there, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. Also mentioned that we're brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, even if you're outside of the area, you're interested in opening your own pizza shop, maybe you've got a restaurant, you need a good pizza recipe, let me invite you to give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you ask for Gus, he can help you get started in your own pizza business. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and he'd be glad to help you get started. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. Our toll-free number, of course, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have John calling in this evening. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, how are you tonight?
I am doing well.
Good. You mentioned the account of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16.
Yes, sir.
It says there
in our, and for our listeners, if they did not hear the previous half hour, we were talking about some things dealing with the subject of hell, and we had mentioned, you know, the account, like John said, our caller said, Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, and where Lazarus died and he went into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and he went into torment. So go ahead.
Well, Jesus is talking about the verb there is the word was.
Oh, wait a minute. Let's get the right verse here. Where are we at? We're at verse number 19. Yes, there was a certain rich man. By the time Jesus is talking about that, they'd already died. So he had lived on the earth previously. So, yeah, was would be past tense. That would be correct.
Okay. My question would be, was there people that when Jesus was giving this account, were there people already in torment?
Well, obviously. Because he talks about two people in this discussion. One is the rich man, and the other is Lazarus. The rich man opens his eyes in verse 11, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So the rich man obviously was there. That's one in particular. I would assume that there were others there, obviously, because he was worried that his brothers would go there. He said, I have five brethren, and he didn't want them to come there. But we also know from Scripture that a great many people died rejecting the Messiah. We follow from the beginnings of the book of Genesis when Cain killed his brother Abel, and then we see one of his sons killed two people, and then we see the whole world being destroyed by the worldwide flood, and then of course others throughout the Old Testament who died rejecting Christ, they went into the place of torment. That's where they were. Those that died with their faith in, or I should say, they were rejecting the Messiah. They did not yet know the name of Christ. Those that died with faith in the Messiah to come, they obviously had nothing to go into torment from. They were trusting in the Savior who was going to come. And when Jesus came, of course, when he died on the cross, he descended into hell. Into not the place of torment, because he had no reason to be in torment. Jesus was without sin. He paid for our sins on the cross as he shed his blood, and at one point he finally cried out, "It is finished." So, he didn't have to go into the place of torment. But there were people there, obviously.
It was my understanding that when he died on the cross, that was when he became the judge. I'm wondering, if these people...
Back up a second. Let's back up a second there. Where do you get that understanding from? Because I'm kind of at a loss where you would think he became the judge when he died on the cross.
Well, do you feel that he was the judge before that?
Well, as God, he always has been, but he was not fulfilling that office in that ministry, I guess you could say, at that time. At the time he died on the cross, he became the sacrifice for our sins. And then he descended into hell, as we were talking about there when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. He was referring to David's psalm of Psalm 16, where David said that his soul would not be, God would not keep his soul in hell. And he also is referring to the Holy One, which of course is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would not stay in hell. And so he went there to present himself as the sacrifice. Now, one day in the future, yes, he will be judged. Right now, he's fulfilling the role of advocate. 1 John chapter 2 says that he's the advocate with the Father, and he makes intercession for us right now.
It was always my understanding that the punishment of torment was based on a judgment.
Well, I think you're misunderstanding some fundamental things here, John. The idea here is punishment in hell is for rejecting Christ. In fact, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 18, I believe it is, it says we're condemned already because we've not believed. And so it's not that we go out and do a certain number of bad things and we get condemned into hell. We go to hell because we've not put our faith in Christ as our Savior. In the Old Testament, when they did not yet know Jesus Christ, they wound up in hell in torment because they had not put their faith in the Messiah that was prophesied to come. So it wasn't judgment for sin. You're confusing two things here. One is there's the judgment of the believers, the judgment seat of Christ, which is yet a future event, has nothing to do with whether or not we go to heaven. Everybody at the judgment seat of Christ is already going to heaven because they had their faith in Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And so they are being judged based on their faithfulness and their good works, and rewards are given to them as they enter into heaven. The second judgment is the Great White Throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20, where the dead who have rejected Christ, who have rejected the Messiah, are brought up from hell, and they stand before God, and they're not being judged as to whether or not they can go into heaven or whether they're going into the lake of fire for all eternity. They're already on their way to the lake of fire. They're being judged based on their works, on the magnitude of their sins, as to what degree of punishment that they're going to have in hell. So,
I'm wondering when you feel that the punishment of torment started.
Well, it probably started when Cain found his way there. There's obviously two places in hell. There was the compartment of paradise and the compartment of torment. We saw that in Luke chapter 16. Paradise has been emptied. Jesus led captivity captive. Now the Bible says when we die with faith in Christ, we go directly to be with the Lord in heaven. And because we've trusted Christ as our Savior. So, you know, that's taken care of. We're now on our way to heaven if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Now, there's the ultimate end of the people who are still in torment in hell and those that arrive there, and that, as I said, the Great White Throne Judgment, then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. So appreciate the call. Sorry we couldn't help you out a little bit better there, John. But we've also got Tom calling in tonight. And Tom, welcome to the program this evening.
Hello, Pastor. How you doing?
Good. I am doing well. Good to talk to you.
Okay, I guess I got like a two-part question, so hear me. I'm going to try to explain this as quickly as possible. Okay, Jesus talked about, you know, unless we forgive others, then we're not forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that he's really referring to my understanding, and maybe I'm wrong, that's more so for brothers or sisters in the Lord, isn't it?
Well, part of it, but I think part of it has our attitude too. There was the example, I think, that leads into this where, you remember where the one steward, was forgiven, or the one individual was forgiven of a debt that he couldn't pay.
Right.
And then he immediately went out and, found this one guy who owed him a relatively minor amount. An amount that could have been handled and arrangements could have been made, and he exhibited a very unforgiving attitude to him. And if I can find that here, I'll see if I can find that. But
what my question is kind of referring to is, so what happens when we get in with people that, you know, we have disagreements with Christians that totally, their doctrine is totally different from ours. They believe that you can be lost, and then you can be saved, and then lost, and then they don't believe in the rapture, and they don't believe that, you know, they believe that worshiping on Sunday is wrong, and so, you know, everything that some of us believe, they totally believe opposite. So are we still to consider them brothers in the Lord? I mean, I don't understand sometimes.
Well, it depends on some of the doctrines that we're looking at. Obviously, if somebody does not believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, they cannot be a saved individual. You know, that's one of the characteristics right there.
Yeah, because I had like a confrontation with another believer, and it really broke down to the point where, you know, they kind of stormed off, and I kind of felt like, well, I kind of felt like guilty, like maybe I'm responsible for it too. And it's like, so how do you, you know, we can theoretically forgive somebody even if they don't ask us for forgiveness, right?
Oh, yeah, we can have a forgiving attitude towards people who have offended us, whether or not they ask for forgiveness.
Right, because I'll be honest, sometimes I have struggled, even being a Christian, with people that maybe have wounded me in trying to forgive them. And I mean, you know, I'm trying to be honest because, you know, I think that I think forgiveness is a hard thing in ourselves, you know. I really do sometimes. It depends on the offense against us and things like that. So I can sympathize with people that, you know, that have had horrible things happen to them and everything. And then here you have somebody that just, you know, has done this to you, and it's not like they're coming and calling you or knocking on your door and saying, you know, I was really wrong, and would you forgive me? Of course, you know, but it's like, so how do we deal with that in our heart, you know, so that we have a clear conscience with God?
All right, and not forgiving somebody, you run the risk of becoming bitter. You know, bitterness can set in very easily,
right.
And it can lead to hatred and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And that's the danger of not being forgiving. And let me clarify something too while we're talking about this. Forgiving and forgetting are not synonymous. You know, I've encountered this in the past, maybe you have too, where somebody said, well, if you say that you've forgiven somebody for something, but then you remember what they did, you really didn't forgive them.
Right.
And I disagree with that. I'm not God. I don't have the ability to forgive and forget.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, I struggle, but sometimes I just ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be forgiving when sometimes I don't want to be.
Yeah. Well, I was going to give an example, too, of like if you live next door to a guy, he's got a fenced-in yard, and he has a dog over there, and you're over in the yard with him and his dog, and the dog's friendly and wags his tail, and you pet him, and he's a nice, friendly dog, and one day you're in your backyard, and you're playing with your kids, and you got a frisbee or a ball or something, and it goes over the fence into the backyard, and you see it laying there, and the neighbor's dog is there, and you think, well, the neighbor's dog's a friendly dog. I'm going to just hop over there and go get my frisbee or the ball that went over there. And so you hop the fence, and the dog comes over and bites you. You know, the dog's doing what a dog will do, won't he? He's defending his territory. His master's not there, so he's defending his territory.
You've entered his zone.
Yeah. Now, I can forgive that dog because the dog is doing what a dog is going to do. I can forgive him. But you can bet the next time that the ball or the frisbee goes in the neighbor's yard and the neighbor's not there, I'm not going to hop the fence because I'm going to remember that, well, if the neighbor is there, the dog is friendly. If the neighbor's not there, the dog is protective. And so I'm going to remember that. And that's what we have to do with some people sometimes. But, you know, sometimes we have this unforgiving attitude, and as a believer, obviously, it's not going to cost us our salvation, but, you know, this is kind of one of the odd sort of things when we think about what God does. You know, we wonder, how can God forget our sins and have forgiven us of our sins and yet know that we're still sinners in order that he can judge us effectively, you know, for our faithfulness of service one day as believers.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we're evidencing an unforgiving attitude, we're certainly not evidencing the attitude of somebody who is saved.
Yeah.
And we will come under the chastening hand of the Lord. And when we come under the chastening hand of the Lord, and again, this is one of those odd things that's hard for us to understand about God's nature. Yes, he's forgiven us. Yes, he's forgotten our sins, as he said that he would never remember them. He cast them as far as the east is from the west and all. But at the same time, when we engage in sinful behavior as a Christian, God will chasten us to get our attention.
Yeah.
In order to bring us back into the right way, the right path.
And I remember a story a long time ago, Corrie ten Boom. She said one of the hardest things, she said here she encountered one of the death camp guards years later who had become a Christian, and he extended his hand to her and asked her to forgive us, and forgive her, this, you know, asked her to forgive him, and she said she could not do it in her own spirit. She prayed, and she said, Lord, I can't, but you can through me.
Right.
And then she extended her hand and forgave him. But she said it was the Spirit of the Lord that do it. That she in her own spirit, could not do it.
Right.
She submitted to God. So it's just something that I'm kind of conscious of, you know, sometimes in my own. Maybe I'm overly sensitive, too, sometimes. But it's like, I think, really, as I get older, we, you know, I try to maintain this idea that I think we really need to really examine our conscience every day before the Lord. And I know
absolutely
sometimes I have struggled, but I just wanted to get your insight on that.
Yeah, well, and think about it this way. God is always trying to improve us. The chastening of the Lord is not there to hurt us. It's to conform us to his holiness. It's to improve us. It's to make us better. And so if we think about this, if we harbor any sinful attitude as a Christian, whether it's an unforgiving spirit or whatever the sinful attitude may be, if we refuse to relinquish that to the Lord, he really cannot very effectively work with curing us of that.
We kind of fetter it, don't we?
Yeah, and so if you think about it in that light, as a believer that harbors an unforgiving spirit, well, that unforgiving spirit can't be dealt with until we're willing, like you said so well with Corrie Ten Boom, unless we're willing to say, listen, Lord, I can't, but you can through me. And we're willing to let that go to God and let him take it away from us. You know, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to do because...
It's the idea of just giving the Holy Spirit control.
Right. And if we don't give control to him in those areas, then he can't deal with us in those areas. He tries, and the chastisement might ramp up a little bit, trying to get our attention. But until we're willing to relinquish that bitterness, to relinquish that unforgiving spirit, God can't deal with us. Now, we're not talking about forgiveness in terms of salvation.
No,
we're talking about forgiveness so that we can move on and grow stronger as a Christian.
Well, thank you. You've
from the effects of our sin.
You've encouraged my heart tonight. Wonderful advice. And, so we need to pray for one another, too. But I think we need to confess and where we're weak. And I think we can draw strength from other Christians and pastors and things like that when we're honest with people, too. So.
Right.
And I think the Lord, I think that's why he's got us together, and that's why we go to church, isn't it, Pastor?
Oh, yeah, we encourage one another.
That we draw strength from one another. And,
yeah.
And we see the witness of the Lord in the presence in his life. It manifests itself. So thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate that. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10 says that we provoke one another to good works.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. Well, thank you for that. Appreciate that, Tom.
Thank you. Good night.
All right, thank you very much. And, you know, as we're closing out the program here today, I realized two things. One, I wanted to talk a little bit about our visit to Noah's Ark down in Kentucky about a week or so ago. Didn't get a chance to talk about that last week, so we'll have to hold on that a little bit. My wife and I went to the Ark Encounter in June, and we had a great time there. Encourage you, if you get a chance to visit, to take a look at that. And maybe I'll talk about that a little bit here in the 2 minutes that we got left. Also wanted to mention, of course, Tuesday is Independence Day, 4th of July. And I hope you got a chance that you can get out and celebrate and remember the freedom and the liberty that we have in this country. And that ought to be a reminder to you of the liberty that we have in Christ, the freedom that we have because of Christ and what he accomplished on Calvary, that we can have the forgiveness of sin and we have liberty in Christ. So I wanted to mention that as well. But touching on the Ark a second here, we've just got a few minutes to go, some of you have had the chance to go there to visit it. It's located in Williamstown, Kentucky. We'll do a little more talk about it, but this is a full-size, life-sized replica of the Ark. You know, obviously, we don't know exactly what Noah's Ark looked like, but they followed the dimensions in the Bible. They put some things on it based on some ancient shipbuilding techniques and things that seemed reasonable. I think a sea anchor and a mizzen sail or something, or whatever you call it, to try and keep it oriented in the right direction in the wind. But it's 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, 51 feet tall. It's got 3.3 million board feet of timber in it. It's the largest freestanding timber frame structure in the world. Kind of impressive. But one of the things I found out, it's not the only full-scale ark that's been built. Some guy over in Europe, I think in the Netherlands, built one. And they put it on a barge where they can tow it around the world. I think during the last Olympics in Brazil, They were going to take it to Brazil to take it around in some different ports. So it's the second ark. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Have a happy 4th of July. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.